Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, you may be. Go ahead. Have a seat. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We will, like I said earlier, have communion here in just a little bit. Announcements are pretty simple. God is good. He's been with you. He's been with me. We want to focus on Him a little bit. Lord, again, I thank you for this opportunity to speak your words before your people. Lord, I pray that we all hear something in them, something that is for us. Myself, oh yes, myself more so included than anything else, Father. God, we love you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So what I want to do, as you can tell by the slides, this message, I can't take full credit for it. Well, really none of it, because, of course, the scriptures all come from God, so that's already been done. I just kind of pulled them together. But the concept of it came from our Wednesday prayer with pastors. And we were talking, and of course, all the things of the week previous and all that, or whatever the case might be with the things of the politics and the capital and capitals. And everything was kind of cool there, you know. We had one pastor go, I was really kind of wondering whether or not I really wanted to go today, come here, just trying to figure out what's the conversation going to be like, you know. What are we going to focus on? And for the generality of most of us as we spoke and shared on things, it's like, hey, we focus on God. We don't focus on politics. We don't focus on the things of the world. And so we were sharing, and this one was sharing, and what their message was like. Did anybody have a message about last week, you know? Did anybody cover it on their pulpit and all? And I think out of the five of us that were there, I don't think anybody did. And they just kind of continued on with what God was speaking to them and sharing to their congregations. One of the pastors said, you know what? He said, we have started, and I'm going to institute this type of a thing. And the message of today is off of that, where it is, let's talk about Jesus. He says, have you noticed in our churches that the only time that we talk about Jesus is from the beginning of service to the end of service? And generally, anybody that comes before service, it's talking about the world and the problems. After the service of talking about Jesus, after the service, we're talking about the world and its problems. And the goings on. We all, the other four of us that are there, went, wow, you're right. You're right. He goes, so we're going to come up with our church and say, anything once you get into that front door, it's all Jesus. Jesus before, Jesus during, and Jesus after. And it's like, and he brought up this song, and we're going to do this. It's a chorus. We'll do it a little bit later. But you probably, how many remember that? Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. And so we all kind of chimed in with that. And it was a good time. That's when that one pastor said, I'm really glad I came today because I was kind of wondering, did I really want to come? No, it's, guys, it's more important than what's going on out there. The importance is of what is taking place in the kingdom of God. And as God has placed us here for a plan and a purpose, it's not to become more worldly minded. It's to become more what? Kingdomly minded. And to share that kingdomly mindset with those out in the world. But don't get down in the trenches with them and the things that they want to focus on and conversate on. And take the time away from that of sharing about what God is so good about. And this is nothing new for this time of 2020, 2019, 2021, whatever the case might be. This is from the beginning of time. There's always been that thing by that of the devil, or sometimes man in general. If man doesn't really like to talk about God, they will want to talk about what man wants to talk about, what man wants to focus on. And so I really hit me this week. And that was on Wednesday. So all from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, now to here, have just been thinking about how even myself have fallen into that worldly trap. Do you believe there's a worldly trap out there? If you don't, open your eyes. Because the devil would want to snare you, take you down, kill, steal, destroy, whatever. But we know that the enemy is out there wanting to do that. But we need to rise above that. If you're a child of God, and I believe those that are here today are a child of God, we need to rise above that, and we need to focus upon, what does my God say? What does he say about all of these events? I don't care what they are, but what does he say? And then when you begin to focus on what he say to those that are saying what's going on today, you're not focusing on the events of today. You're sharing kingdom of God, and you're talking about Jesus. And so that's what it's all about, is for us to talk about Jesus. It gets to the point, I believe, that we've got to eat, sleep, breathe, you name it, that of Jesus. Because if we don't guard ourselves, if you don't guard yourself, who's going to guard you? Remember when they say when you point at somebody, I got three fingers pointing back at me. Tim, who's going to protect Tim? Tim, who's going to keep you on track? The only one that can help me in that is that of who? The Holy Spirit. To be able to all of a sudden say, Tim, why focus upon whatever? When there's something much, much better to focus on. The kingdom of God. In your inheritance. Now, it's not to say that we're going to just say, oh, I'm a kingdom of God, I'm in the kingdom of God, and I'm not going to do anything while I'm here. We're going to do something while we're here, right? Proclaim Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Tell them who he is and what he has for them, as well as what he had for you, and now we're going to share that. So let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords supreme. Throughout eternity, the great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Have you ever stopped to think, especially in the year that we have just come out of, and even now this new year that we have in? And guess what? This year, as of today, is how old? 17 days. 17 days old. And how often have our conversations revolved around that of the world's information, the news items, the social, the economic, the political news, the happenings that are going on out there in a fallen world? We focus on the things in a fallen world rather than focusing on things in the kingdom world. You are much better than those out there, not because of who you are, but because who is what? In you. That we can take this stand, that we can say, I've got this in me, and I am no better than you. But I am better than you. In the instance that I have got Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, my sins have been forgiven, I've been given a new life. I have eternity planned for me when I leave here. And oh, by the way, Mr. Joe Q. Public or Sue Q. Public, you've got eternity to figure about yourself, too. Because it's just not for me. Eternity is for everybody. Everybody that's been placed here by that of birth is going to go through this life. And if you've been born today, you're going to die tomorrow. Hopefully spiritually first. Yeah, well, we did spiritually already die. But be reborn with that of the new birth. And then physically we're going to die and have that eternity of where we're going in that realm. I'm not sure about you, but I have noticed how easily it has been for me to easily begin to focus on these things of this world. And I begin to lose my track of my kingdom heritage. And we all know what heritage is, right? Heritage is this. And the King James Dictionary says it's an inheritance. It's an estate that is passed from one ancestor to an heir by descent or a course of law, which is inherited. In Scripture, the saints are people of God, are called His heritage as being claimed by Him and the object of His special care. We got to focus upon our heritage. And we've got an earthly heritage. I've shared this before about ancestries and life things and all this for following your roots of here on this earth, of how did you get to where you're at? Who in your history of family in the past? What was your family like back in the 1600s, the 1700s, the 1800s, whatever the case is, in the 1900s? And how we can track all of that through records and stuff now. And that's one good way of looking at it, to kind of get an idea of how you've got here and some background history of your family. But what about us really focusing upon the heritage of the kingdom? That's what we have to focus upon. That's what we've got to keep on our forefront of what we're focused on today. And not just today, but you've got to focus on it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. In the Holman Bible Dictionary, it says, a heritage is that legacy, inheritance, a birthright. And we can find in the Old Testament refers to the promised land as Israel's heritage from God. And you can go on to children are a heritage, right, and regarded as a heritage from God. The law and God's protective care are likewise called a heritage. And then we get into my heritage. I got to focus on kingdom heritage. Well, then I get to that word of, I've got to look at that inheritance. We are all gaining an inheritance. And forget about the worldly inheritance, because the kingdom inheritance is much more important, don't you believe? We find in the New Testament, inheritance can refer to property, or refers to rewards of discipleship, of eternal life. Talks about the kingdom. Talks about Christ is the heir of par excellence. It talks about through Christ, Christians can be heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Just Romans 8:17. Romans 8:17 says this. I'll go in 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Are you a child of God? I hope you are. If not, you're missing it. And if children, then heirs, are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We find this word heir is that a word denotes a joint participant, a co-heir, a fellow heir, one who receives a lot with another. We have received a lot with our joint heir with Jesus. Amen. As we travel this sod. Hallelujah. We can also look at Colossians 3:24. Talks about the Christian home. 22 talks about bondservants obey in all the things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Verse 23, Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. See, we've got an inheritance that's coming your way. It's already set for you. Amen. And it's not going to need the worldly legal ways. You're not going to need to go to an estate attorney or a court, you know, to get any of this. It's already been done in the heavenlies, in God's kingdom, as followers of Christ, as children of His. It's there for us. It's there for the taking. If you just take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, repent of your sins, invite Him into your heart, become a new creation, you've got a birthright now of an inheritance that is out of what? This world. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge myself today to begin focusing on our talks and things of that to that of Jesus. That we keep a focus on Him. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff going on in Jesus' day. The Roman Empire and the Romans and what they were doing, you know, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all the learned ardor of people back then and teachers and all that didn't understand what that of Jesus meant. So they were battling and saying some things about him. So we've always had skirmishes and things going on. But what did Jesus say to those around him? That I must be about what? My Father's complaints. I've got to be about my Father's talks about the world and the politics and that Roman government and all of these learned people and all. I have got to be about my Father's business. And if we miss that point, we are not going to be about my Father's business here on this earth. For such a time as this that I've been born, for such a time as you have been born, for such a time of all the struggles and all the things that you've gone through in this life, don't let it be for nothing, but let it be for that of a what? Stand up and testify to how God brought you through those things, or how God sustained you in those things. Did they turn out exactly the way you wanted? Maybe not, but stand up and testify about what God did for you. He held you up in His hand. He gave you the support. He gave you the strength. He gave you the peace. He gave you the words to say. He gave of Himself so much that He sent Jesus to die to get this whole thing started, to reconcile us back to Him. And so He is saying, don't begin looking at all of this stuff, the gobbledygook of life. How easy it is to be snared by that of life. And the world has done such a good job of it because I wish I could go back to when I was growing up as a child. How about you? The only time I knew that news was on, I think, was at 5 o'clock Central Time. You'd hear the news locally, and maybe at 5:30 you'd hear national news with Walter Cronkite. This is Walter Cronkite. And this is the world. Oh, for such a time. 10 o'clock came, local news. Didn't even have the world news at 10 o'clock. The only time I heard world news was when? Did you guys remember this? 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 5:30 or whatever it was. 30 minutes of world news, national news here. And the 5 o'clock and the 10 o'clock hour was local news of the state you lived in, the city. They might have mentioned, yes, national news off to the side. But now the world wants to say, I'm going to get you so stirred up, I'm going to have a 24-hour news cycle. You're going to be able to just roll out of bed and see what's going on at 2 o'clock in the morning. Update. News flash. The world is doing a good job of getting us so unfocused of God. I forgot, I should have used that slide where it had the glasses and all that frame, so we would understand how unfocused we are of God and focused on the things of this world. Not only the things of this world, sometimes we get so focused on our own problems that we lose sight of that of God. Oh God, I need this. Oh God, I have to have this. Oh God, I need you to work in this situation. And we get our eyes focused on that. And we got to keep our eyes focused on Him. The answer giver, the problem taker, the problem solver, to get into your problem. And I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know what His answer is for you, but if you're a child of God, you've got to get to this point. Lord, I don't understand it. I wouldn't do it that way, but You are my God. I trust in You, and to You I believe and hold my allegiance to You. For You know the beginning all the way to the end. I have never come across, has anybody, come across a scripture in your studies that says you will understand everything that God is doing. That He will run it by you first, get your opinions, ask you if, Tim, this is the way I'm going to do it. Do you see any problem with that? Would you like to maybe add a little bit to it or take away what I think I want to do? I have never had that. Never saw that in Scripture. I don't need to see that in Scripture. As a child of God, and by my trust and my love and my faith in Him, I trust Him. Do you trust Him? Even when all hell is breaking loose in your nation, in your state, city, or even closer to home, in your own home, do you trust Him? Do you think he's left you? Do you think your problem is like, I can't handle that, I'm going to move on to something easier? Or do you think that, oh, my problem is not that big, so I'm sure that he's more focused on this situation over here? He cares for all of your situations. He cares for no matter what you're going through. If it is a burr in your saddle, amen, he's concerned about it because he says, I want you to be pleased. I want you to live a good life. But I'm going to tell you, on this side of heaven, it's going to be hard to live a good life in this kingdom of that of the devil. But I will have the strength to get through it. I will have, hopefully, the patience. I will have the words to say. When I don't know what to say, I'll shut up. If I don't have the words to say, I trust the Spirit will give them to me. If it's going to be hard upon me, all I can say is, oh, Lord, help me weather this situation. Because I've got a feeling I'm not going to do well because I'm a physical being and I hurt and I have pain and I don't like what I see and it's emotionally disturbing to me and physically upsetting to me. I've got ulcers. I've got anxiety. I've got all of these things that you've put within us that happens to be because we're flesh. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder, do animals really have anxiety? I know, I guess they talk about dogs and all that, but I don't know. Do birds and stuff and all that are flying around, squirrels and rabbits? I don't know. Maybe they do, but the rabbit just keeps on hopping. The squirrel just keeps on running. Why do you concern yourself about what you're going to wear or eat or whatever for tomorrow? When the birds and the animals that are God's creation, they don't do that. No, they work well and they do storing up and all of the things that God has put in them, and we should do the same thing. I think sometimes the animal world, probably a lot more times, the animal world is more tuned into that of God than us. Because we've sidetracked ourselves to get so hooked into the things of what all the world is all about. Sometimes I look at the wildlife, the deer, the birds, the hawks, the eagles, whatever you see in the nature, and you go, I wonder if they're really worried about what just took place in this part of the country, or over there, or about this, or over here. Now they will, when they know a storm is coming, God has put within them to what? Hunker down. We know that when the islands and things of tsunamis, if the tribes people pay attention to wildlife, the wildlife, when a tsunami is coming, hours and hours beforehand, they go to high ground. They start looking around like, hey, where's all the wildlife at? That used to be here in the area right here that's kind of like ground level. They've all went up to higher ground. Yeah. I think the animal kingdom has a lot more sensitivity to the things tied in to the goings-on in this world and how God created things. Now, thankfully, he's given us a mind so that we can ponder these things and think on these things. But sometimes we got to get to that point of trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy with Jesus than to trust and obey. So what has God showed you this week? Past your problems. What has God done for you this week? Past your problems. If you're here today, he's given you breath in your lungs Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If you're here today and you walked here, you didn't walk here, but you walked in from here, you know, you drove here, you had the strength to get up and to go and to motivate and to do. Thank God for that. I think sometimes we think, like, I got to give a testimony for God, and it's got to be the miraculous. Sometimes I'm going to tell you just to stand up and say, thank you, God, for allowing me to live another day. And God says, you will choose, I think just like he says, you will choose who you will serve. I believe a lot of times he's going to tell you, you can choose how you perceive this day to be. If it's a trial, if it's a situation, guess what? It's going to help perfect your faith. It's going to mature you into what I want you to be. But to only become mature in God, you've got to go through trials and testing and hard times. You don't build strength and muscles by just sitting in the chair and saying, come on, forearm, build up. You don't build a lot of muscle with a remote control. Your fingers might be pretty, you know, I think I got a lot of strength in my thumbs for clicking the remote a whole lot. But anything that we do in the natural to build our body, to sustain our body, we get back to that of drinking fluids, eating substance to keep our body strong, building bone mass, keeping our bones strong, building things in our blood and keeping our minerals and vitamins up. It all requires material things of food and eating in the natural. Does the same thing for our spirit life. If you're spiritually drawn down, you better get tapped into the source. Through word, through prayer, meditate, focus on Him. And so as we get up and it's like, I thank you, Lord, for another great day. How am I going to receive this day? If it's like the last 3 days, it's going to be terrible. I'm already figuring it out. It's going to be terrible. Well, if it's going to be terrible, say, well, Lord, if it's a terrible day, I trust you're going to be with me. And I need you, Lord. I need you. Oh, I need you. I don't understand it, Lord, but I know that I need you. Lord, if this is perfecting me, if this is building me up, is this maturing me to be a stronger Christian? Oh, thank you, Lord, for that. But it's probably because you're going to be a stronger Christian so that you can help someone that's behind you, so that you can share what you've gone through, so you can share with them. And it's like a hand to help somebody else up. Let me extend my hand, brother or sister, so that you can continue on this journey with that of Christ. And they'll say, well, sure, yeah, it's easy for you to extend your hand because I'm sure you've had just a piece of cake walking in the things of God. How many here today have had a piece of cake walk with God? I would be totally surprised if somebody put their hand up. Because I'm going to venture a guess that we've all been through trials and tribulations and situations. But that's to help you to be able to share with that other person that God brings across your path, that you can say, oh no, let me tell you, you think I've all had it well and good, and oh, nothing has happened in my life, and it's all been a piece of easy peasy pie to walk through. I won't go into all, but here's what God has brought me through. Wow. Wow. That was pretty horrific. So you're saying that this same Jesus that helped you through that could be helping me in where I'm at in this terrible, horrific situation that I'm in? Yes. He's no respecter of person. Your problem is no less than mine or more greater than mine or anything less. Your problem is a problem, and God is there to help you. But we've got to first get you connected to Him through that of Jesus Christ. We need to first want you to know that you've got a heritage that you can hook into. You get into that with Jesus Christ, you become joint heirs with Jesus. And what He has, you have. Begin to share these things that God has done for you. Can someone stand up and give a testimony to the love, to the grace, to the mercy of our God that they have received during that week? Hallelujah. The message is this: let's put more of Jesus in our conversation than the world's events taking of our attention. I know many here today have already focused off of the news. Some have already disconnected from Facebook. Hallelujah! God bless you. You know, you can see where this is all going. I'm so thankful that they can't disconnect you or they can't control your talk or what you say by that of going in prayer to that of God. Amen. That's an open vest. That's an open line. It's not connected to a man's system to say, oh, we don't like what you're saying. Beep, we're going to block you. Oh, hallelujah, to know that you've got the connection, the communication directly to the throne of God. That ought to give you excitement and power and peace and encouragement and joy and hope. Amen. Because the world is going to want to shut up the Christian. We already know that. But they can't shut up our prayers to God. In 1 John 2:15, it says this, and this is where we got to get a little listen to this, but it says this, that in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I don't know. It just seems to me, don't love the world. That's pretty easy. But a lot of times we talk about what we love. If you're an avid hobbyist with whatever, working, doing whatever, what do you love to talk about? Your hobby. You love to share about what you're doing, what you've done, what you're working on, what you're looking at, what you've done in the past. I love to share about the things that's important to me. We've got to get back from that. Well, if we love Jesus, I'm trusting we all love Jesus, amen? Don't love the world or the things in the world. New Living says this, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have that love of the Father in you. We get so wrapped up in these things of the world that we soon lose sight of the love of the Father in us. We find John writing to believers of all ages of all ranges of age, okay, young and old, in this area here of 1 John 2:15. Those who were mature in their faith and had a long relationship with Christ, and those that were the children who had heard about Christ, and they're on their early years of their walk with Christ. We should note that each stage of life as a Christian will build up another. As babes in Christ, we will grow from victory to victory, and as our relationships develop, we're going to share those things, and we're going to be maturing and maturing and maturing or perfecting our faith to where we can be sharing those things to those around us. When people are so focused upon the doom and gloom of this world, we can give them a piece of hope, a hope that doesn't change, a hope that's not tied into whatever's going on down here in current events is going to affect what's going on up there in the heavenly events. The heavenly events have been taken care of. The heavenly events have been put in place. The heavenly events are under that of the director of that, of God. The kingdom of God. Nothing is new under the sun. But the things in the kingdom of God don't change. For he says, I change not. So you need to ask this question to yourself. Has your Christian growth reached the maturity level appropriate for your current stage in life? Or has your maturity level grown in how long you've been with the Lord? If you've been with the Lord for 30 years and you're still like about a 10-year-old Christian, what has held you back? What is holding you to that point of, I just am up to this level? No. We've been with him for 30 years. Oh, I've learned so much. And it's not that I've learned it all. I'm still on that track of learning just like everybody. Amen. But we've got to get past the milk of the word. We've got to get past of being force-fed by the pastor on a Sunday morning. You've got to dig it out yourself. You got to go through Scripture. You got to stay in tune to God. And you know what? I'm not always going to be there, but I know who is God. And it's not to say that I have a whole lot of knowledge of this. I learned just a lot of it. I just learn as I'm going. I can't pull from the depths of riches of Scriptures and knowledge of teachings from 5 or 10 years ago or through 5 years of a college type thing. But what I pull from is life. What I pull from is what God has put within me, that he has put in all of us, or that he will put in all of us if we are willing to say, come fill me, come be my Lord, fill me, lead me, teach me, guide me. Lord, I want to honor you. And he will begin that journey with you. He will put your feet on the path to stay. Hallelujah. If you keep your feet there. And don't get sidetracked to the things of the world. So where are you at in your stage with that of God in the time you've been with him? In Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried by with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Easy Read Version says, then we will no longer be like babies. We will not be people who are always changing like a ship that the waves carry one way and then another way. We will not be influenced by every new teaching that we hear from people who are trying to deceive us. Good and bad. Can you believe there's good and bad in Christianity? Well, that is bad have been led astray, have been corrupted. And it could be like what this here very well is talking about. that had been taken away by every wind and doctrine, that you've got to be cautious. You've got to be watchful. You've got to be on guard. It's not to be fearful. I don't walk around in fear that I'm going to be deceived. I walk around with the power of God in my life, filled with the Holy Spirit, to where if I hear or see or whatever, I see something, I take it to that of God and say, God, is this right? Is this of you? And generally, some of it is so far extreme, it doesn't take much with God to find that out, you know? And so we've got to be cautious of that. But if we talk about Jesus above everything else, we're going to be that light. We're going to be that source for people to come to have an answer that they're looking for. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? Renewing this, your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, the good, acceptable and perfect will of God. What does God want from me? Renew your mind and you'll find out. New Century Version says, do not be shaped by this world. Instead, be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you, and you will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. That song out there, I tell you what, folks, we just need to get back to the basics of life. We've got to get back to the basics of that of God and what He has meant from the very beginning of foundation of time to where we're at today, that we have got to get back to just what He is about and what He wants from us and go forward with that of the glory of God. And we are an army, and that is, you know, yes, we can get into all these things that, you know, take a stand and all that, but there's a lot of this that we take a stand in. It needs to be in the spiritual realm. The battle is not against the what? What does His word say? The battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's in the heavenlies. It's a spiritual battle that's overrunning this whole nation. There's a spiritual battle that's taking over this whole world if it could get its way. But our spirit, our fight is not against this person. I'm not fighting against you, you, and you. I'm fighting in the spiritual heavenlies with my prayer to bring down the strongholds of that. And I've got a pretty good idea that guess what? I'm going to win. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. I go to the power source. I go to the Creator that put all of this in place. And He has put us here to say, here, pray this through, pray this through, pray, intercede. Don't get focused on the problem. The problems will always be there, but pray and intercede. But let's share Jesus. How can you pray? How can you be encouraged? How can you be so upbeat? How can? I have a person I talk to that doesn't go here to the church. I call periodically. And they go, oh, Pastor Tim, you are so upbeat all the time. Because I know when I talk to this person, I said, hey, it's a good week. God is good. Praise God. Oh, Pastor Tim, you're always so uplifting. I like to talk to you because by the time I'm done, it's not something I put on. It's just not to say, oh, I'm just going to fabricate this so that I feel or make people think I'm good or I'm happy. It's, I'm going to tell you, you'll walk in the power and the presence of that of God, and He's in your heart, and you love Jesus. You will bring up a person that's down and out in this world when they call you or talk to you, that you don't listen to what they're saying. You put your spin on it, that of God, and you bring them up rather than they taking you down. If they take you down, the enemy, guess what, has won. Oh, but I'm out there to take all that I can from the enemy and encourage them into the things of what? That of God. Do not deny the circumstance. Crazy things are going on in our world, in our nation, in our politics. I don't deny that, but I don't focus on it. I'm not worried about it. I'm having a time of my life being here at this time, serving my God. That's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I don't have to worry about the change of my God. But if you're focusing on the things of the events of the world, they change by every wind of doctrine, every wind of change. We're going to do this. They do this for a while. This one comes in. We're going to do that. We've already seen it and heard it. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'm just going to stay close to my God and give him honor and glory. I'm going to pray for it. I'm going to say, Lord, let your will be done. What can I do? What can I say? And I think probably all this that's going on this side of stuff is he's going to say, but what have you shared about my son Jesus? What have you, and I've done a poor job of that. I don't know about you guys. I've done a poor job of that. But I believe God's not going to say, why didn't you pray for all this all the time? And he's going to say, okay, I heard your prayers there, but what did you do about my kingdom and sharing about my Jesus and what he did for you and what he has done for all, that they just need someone to share, and we are that vessel. Pour it in, Lord. Pour it in, Lord. Oh, the salvation, the water that he gave me for salvation. And now, Lord, fill me up with the Spirit, Lord. I can go and pour and release that to the people that I was before I knew you personally. I need to share that with them too. So hopefully, Lord, they grasp a hold of it. I think God would say this is probably the best time and best time for, one of the best times, for evangelism. People are looking for a positive word out there. They're looking for something that they can hold on to, that will not slip away. For you that have received Christ as your Lord and Savior and that are serving God, have you ever felt him slip away from you? Have you ever felt him go, get away, Tim. I don't want you today. Get away. I'm not going to be with you no more, Tim. Get out of here. No! I've always felt his presence. Even when I didn't feel it, after I thought about it, I realized he was still there, and he did not leave me. Tim, tell them about Jesus. So, in wrapping this up, what do we tell about Jesus? I could go on to characteristics of him that, oh, he's the Son of God, that he became human, that he's Christ the Messiah. He came to help sinners. He has the power to forgive sins. He has authority over death. Jesus has power to give eternal life. Jesus can heal the sick. Jesus taught with authority. He was compassionate. He did experience sorrow. He never disobeyed God. Now that song. Remember, it goes like this. You may know it. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords supreme. Throughout eternity, the great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Well, let's talk about Jesus more and more. Wow. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 10:9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Good pasture. Good pasture. Amen. We can share that with those out there in the world, that Jesus is that. Now, I found this as I was digging online, and I came up with this, an updated version. And so I thought, after I read through it, I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. And so somebody's added this to it. And it goes, let's talk about Jesus. Let all the world proclaim the power and majesty of such a wondrous name. The babe of Bethlehem, the bright and morning star. Let's sing his praises near and far. Let all the world proclaim. Mark 16:15. And he says to them, go into all the world and preach or proclaim the gospel to every creature. Go, proclaim, go, talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. Another stanza goes like this. Let's talk about Jesus. The bread of life is he, the Savior of the world, the man of Galilee. The prophet, priest, and king, the mighty God is he. The well of living water free. The bread of life. That's who Jesus is. John 6:35, and Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Kind of remember that, kind of like last week's message a little bit. Talks about the living water, the well of living water free. John 4:14, we had that last week, I believe. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, or will never thirst. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. We've got a lot of good things to talk about Jesus to a dying, lost world. Thank God that you've heard it already. Thank God that you grasp a hold of him. Thank God that you received him as your Lord and Savior sometime back, and I don't know how far back, but you sometime had an event in your life somewhere along the line. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior through an altar call, through being at home, through somebody at work, through just a prayer, a simple prayer of receiving him. And then it talks about, let's talk about Jesus. The Prince of Peace is he, the great physician too. Down through all history, the lily pure and white, the rose of Sharon fair, the shepherd of such tender care. The Prince of Peace. We've had that at Christmas here. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then the last stanza that I found was this. Let's talk about Jesus, the rock of ages he, the lamb for sinners slain, the man of Calvary, the great Emmanuel, the word of God sublime. He is our bridegroom so divine. The lamb for sinners slain, for every one of us, and for those out there in the world that need to hear about Jesus. John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he says this, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Remember what sin is, and some of his breakdown of understanding is missing the mark. Missing the mark, but the sin of the world. And then 1 Peter 1, 18 to 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible or perishable things like that of silver or gold, but from aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood, of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's the Jesus that we serve, amen? That's the Jesus that we can go and share and talk about him and talk about him in such a way that you can be upbeat in a downbeat situation. That when people are talking and they're down and they're moping and they're doom and they're gloom, that we can come in and we can say, I hear it, but I'm not focusing on that. Let me focus, or let me tell you what, if you focus on this, what it'll do for you. Not above everything else, receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord, having eternity when that time comes when you are called from this place. And so we do have some wonderful things to share about that of Christ. We should be always sharing and talking about him more than anything else. And I tell you what, if nothing else, when we come onto church property, I call this his kingdom here on this earth. I say, Lord, this 10 acres here is kingdom property. This is your place, Lord. Hopefully we can come in and just share about that of Jesus and what he's doing, what he's done. Oh, hallelujah. Remember I told you one time back about when I began my walk with him and at this other church, and I was new and building and growing and design and wanted more of him. While our wives were in choir practice on a Sunday night, this other man and myself would sit in the kitchen, yes, have coffee, but we would sit there with our Bibles open across the table from one another and saying, what did God show you this week? What did you glean from his scriptures that he led you in this past week? And knowing that we were always going to do that every Sunday, it was a thing also to, like, throughout the week, you just kind of immerse yourself or just not read the whole Bible or a whole chapter. It's just like, focus on maybe it's a devotion, or maybe it's just something that the Lord led you to, or maybe it's some plan that you are following, whatever it is, but that you are able to bring that to light on that Sunday night to say, this is what I read this past week, and wow, this is what I received from it. And that opens up a whole conversation, usually for that of the what? Of God. Because once you get the conversation focused and directed upon Him, it's pretty easy as a child of God to keep sharing more about the things of God and how He brought you through and what He showed you and what He meant to you. Amen? Amen. I hope you feel that. I hope you can sense that. I hope we can walk in that. And myself included. Amen. Hey, I got to do this myself, guys. I got to do this myself. Hallelujah. You have worked miraculous things in each one of our lives. And Lord, maybe even when those times that we do go through struggles, Lord, and they are difficult, and they are hurtful, and they do take a lot of our time and emotion and energy, Lord. But Lord, let us be quick to think about You and to trust You and to know that You have not left us nor forsaken us, that You're right there with us. And the many times that we feel alone, Lord, we'll know that, and just like that footprints in the sand, those footprints are not mine. They are Yours, for I was being carried by You during that time. I love You, Father. And so I pray, Lord, that we can take this message of today and work it into our walk day in and day out of talking about that of Jesus. Praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.